Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
We have right now documentation of somebody that was blind that can see. We've had it happen right here in Lakeland. I have prayed for people that have been deaf and God has opened their ears. I'm acting on the authority of the Word of God and my beliefs. I have evidence by the thousands of people that have claimed healing and are still healed.
Well, that's Todd Bentley, formerly of the Lakeland Outpouring, another one of those Florida revivals. About a year ago, making claims about healings. He's made a lot of claims about healings. What's become of the Lakeland Outpouring today, 1 year later, and where is Todd Bentley now? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number live this Monday afternoon, the 29th of June, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to talk about the Lakeland Outpouring, and we'll spend the rest of the program after that talking to Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research, about a contemporary of Charles Darwin. Warren Cole Smith is our guest for this half hour. He's a writer, editor, and publisher of the Evangelical Press News Service. He's author of the new book, A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church, and he's also written a story for World Magazine titled Heal or Heal. Warren, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
What's the current state of the so-called Lakeland Outpouring, and where is Todd Bentley today?
Well, those are both interesting questions, and I think you would have to say that the answer to the first one, which is what's the state of the Lakeland Outpouring, is that it's pretty much over. It went on that that pretty much came along last summer, as you said, in Lakeland, Florida. It started out as a revival service in a local church down in Lakeland, Florida, and it quickly outgrew the small church. Eventually, they put up large circus-style tents at a small airport near Lakeland, Florida, and as many as 7,000, 8,000, some claims of even 9,000 or 10,000 people would show up for these services that were not every night of the week, but there was one short period of time where I think they did go for, you know, 7-8 nights in a row. But it was it kind of burned itself out after Todd Bentley burned himself out. And Todd Bentley, this flamboyant Canadian evangelist who had body piercings and tattoos and a shaved head, looked more like a, you know, a Hell's Angels motorcycle biker than he did an evangelist, which was part of his appeal, was part of his story, part of his testimony, that he ended up being accused of all kinds of improprieties, having an inappropriate relationship with one of his staff members, alcohol abuse. There were some allegations of financial improprieties as well. And when Todd Bentley ultimately was discredited as a result of these accusations, many of which ended up being true, the revival itself sort of flamed out around August or September of last year. Now, the second question, Todd, which is where is Todd Bentley today? He's living not far from where I live. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's right over the border in South Carolina, in Fort Mill, South Carolina, the site of the old PTL ministry headquarters, which is now the site of Rick Joyner's Morning Star Ministries. Rick Joyner is another one, charismatic Pentecostal preacher. He has a ministry base now there in the old PTL facilities. And he is supposedly, Todd Bentley is, in a reconciliation process with Rick Joyner as his mentor.
Tell us the story of Christopher Fogel.
Well, Chris, if you don't mind, Todd, before I do that, I should say that during the height of the revival last year, I covered the story for World Magazine, and in the midst of that story, I asked the Bentley Ministry for a list of people who had actually been healed. You know, in your setup to our segment, you played that recording from Todd Bentley claiming that there have been thousands of people healed. And so I said, well, gee, if there are thousands of people who have been healed, it ought not be hard to find one or two or three phone numbers of people that I could call. Well, I made over a dozen requests during the 10 or 12-day period that I was working on that story for World Magazine, and it didn't surprise me that they did not come through with that list of names, because I've made these kinds of requests in the past to people like Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and others, and they always have some excuse for not providing the list. I was amazed, though, about 2 weeks after I filed the story with the World, that the list actually showed up. Names, addresses, phone numbers, and usually a sentence or two after each name telling me what this person had been healed of. One of the names on this list was Chris Fogle, the guy that you're asking about. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He loved to fish. And as a matter of fact, the little note that I had on next to his name said this: healed through the outpouring and is back to fishing. Well, I thought, well, that's great. I'll call him first because I like fishing too, and maybe we'd have something to talk about. Well, unfortunately, when I called Chris Fogle's house, I was informed that he had passed away. And in fact, what was kind of particularly tragic about this, I mean, there's all kinds of things about it that are tragic, is that on July 22nd of last year, Chris Fogle had passed away. I didn't even receive the list from Todd Bentley's ministry until August the 8th, and the healing claimed to have been taking place in that early part of that summer. I didn't get an exact date, but sometime in June. So this man, Chris Fogle, by the way, he's from Iowa, near Cedar Rapids, a little town called Keokuk, Iowa, had literally died within weeks of when Todd Bentley had claimed that he was healed, and then his name and address were still on the list. And as I went through the list, I found that this was very typical, that this list had not been carefully put together at all. If this was the best that the Bentley organization had to offer in terms of a list of people who had been healed, then that just led me to believe that there had either been no healings or any healings that might have taken place, you might say, were just random events.
Can you explain to me the role of the healing claim in these revivals, be it Todd Bentley or the more established ministries of you've mentioned, Kenneth Copeland and others?
Sure. Well, it's a pretty direct relationship. There's nothing really that hard to understand about it on one level, Todd. I mean, these guys claim, these televangelists and healing faith healers claim to have the power of God on them. They claim to have a special anointing. And so, you know, logical question, well, if you've got a special anointing, what are signs of that special anointing? How do we know that this anointing is true, real, and valid? And they say quickly in response, well, by the work that God does through the ministry, by the work that God does, you know, here, you know, at our rallies and events. And so these claims of healing are absolutely integral and vital to these faith healers maintaining the illusion that they are truly an anointed ministry. And of course, you know, when they claim that they have this special anointing, then that gives them they believe the freedom to ask people for money and, you know, ask for ongoing support. And that's exactly what Todd Bentley did. And he did this over and over and over again. There were claims of healing at his ministries. And in fact, one of the things that we found out when we were doing the reporting for the World Magazine story, Todd, was that after they set the tent up, these huge circus tents that could seat thousands of people, they actually put an ATM machine near the doors of the tent so that people could actually go to the ATM machines and withdraw money so that they could put in the offering plates that they passed around often repeatedly, more than once, during these services.
Did you find anyone on the list who either you could verify in some shape, matter, or form, that they had experienced some kind of a healing or restoration, or at least believed that they had been healed?
Well, you know, I did encounter several that believed that they had been healed and that their lives had been improved. When I asked questions about the healing, those stories quickly fell apart. And Todd, I want to be real plain with you that you know, I believe in an omnipotent and sovereign God. I really do. And you know, I'm not opposed to healing. There are, you know, Christians who are sometimes they're called cessationists who believe that God doesn't heal today. I'm not one of those guys. I do believe in healing. What I don't believe is that you know, these faith healers are doing anything other than ripping off people, and they talk to these folks sometimes into their healing life, and some of the folks that were healed or believed that they were healed had what I would call soft sicknesses. In other words, they didn't feel well. One guy, for example, claimed that he had chronic fatigue syndrome, which is, you know, which is a very real disorder, and he'd been on disability for over 20 years. But that after the service he was healed. And I said, well, so what does that mean? Does that mean that you're off of disability and you're back to work? And he admitted, well, no, actually, I'm still about 40% sick.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to hear the rest of that interchange, and we'll continue our conversation with Warren Cole Smith. We're talking about an investigation into the Lakeland outpouring led by Todd Bentley this afternoon on Issues Etc. It's Monday, June the 29th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
Back by popular demand, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Mississippi. Loud reports of his healing of hepatitis C.
I rebuke cancer. I rebuke the spirit of cancer. Bam!
Bam, 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 bam!
Every symptom of fibromyalgia is leaving your body.
That's more of Todd Bentley about a year ago during the so-called Lakeland outpouring. Warren Colesmith is our guest for the next 10 minutes. We continue our conversation on an investigation into the claims, the healing claims made around that Lakeland outpouring and alleged faith healer Todd Bentley. Warren is a writer, editor, and publisher of the Evangelical Press News Service. He's author of the new book, A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church. And he's also written a story for World Magazine titled Heal or Heal. Before the break, you were talking about this man on disability who, even after he says he was healed by Todd Bentley, says, well, I'm still 40% sick.
Well, that's right. And as it turns out, as I, you know, kind of gently prodded him, if he was less than 40% sick, he would lose his disability. So, you know, again, I don't want to dispute the fact that maybe the guy does feel better. And you know, if he sometimes sick, you know, chronic illnesses like this are, you know, they're a real struggle. They do affect your emotions and your spirits and so on. So I don't want to beat on this guy too much, but it was pretty obvious to me that the healing was certainly not complete, and that the man was still not working, still on disability, and though he did claim to feel better. And I, let me just say, Todd, that virtually every story, in fact, I will say every story, and I called of the 13 people that Todd Bentley's ministry gave me, two of them had passed away. One of them I couldn't get to, but 10 others I called, and every single one of them had similar problems with their stories. It was interesting, too, that at least three of the people that he gave me the names for were folks who also had their own healing ministries. They were sort of freelance pastors or local evangelists, or had what they called healing prayer ministries, and so they again had a pretty vested interest in making sure that these healing stories were were told about them. They had, let me say it another way, a vested interest in perpetuating these healing ministries. In a couple of cases, the healings actually took place somewhere else, and that Todd Bentley's ministry was simply claiming credit for them. So that whenever I asked them, you know, describe your healing, they would say, well, actually, I wasn't healed at the Todd Bentley ministry. They freely admitted it. I was healed somewhere else. But when Todd Bentley's ministry asked if anyone had been healed, please come forward, I came forward and told them my story. They never asked me whether I had been healed there or not. So again, just an example of playing fast and loose with the facts, and ultimately fast and loose with the truth.
Does this fit in any sense, the biblical model of either Christ's ministry insofar as it was in some ways a healing ministry, or that was perpetuated, carried on through Christ through his apostles?
Well, not as near as I can tell. I mean, you know, I'm not an expert on the exact nature of healing. There are folks that have studied the biblical accounts of healing in great detail, but I can tell you that as a long time a lay student of Scripture, you don't see Jesus or the apostles doing anything remotely similar to what Todd Bentley or Benny Hinn or others do at these healing ministries. I will tell you again, Todd, that I believe in healing. I believe that God is omnipotent, and He can and does heal. It doesn't look anything like in Scripture what it seems to look like with people like Bentley and Benny Hinn. I will also tell you that I interviewed some experts as I tried to understand what was going on. And one of the things that that somebody told me was that, you know, here you've got, let's just say, a lonely, often elderly person who doesn't get out of the house very much, who watches people like Benny Hinn and Todd Bentley on television. These folks are their heroes. Often they don't have, they've got chronic physical problems, but if with a spurt of adrenaline or a spurt of emotions, they could get up out of a wheelchair and walk a few steps. And so here that you have the man that you've looked up to, you've admired, you've watched him on television, you may have even sent him money, and he lays his hands on you and says, get up out of your chair and walk. Well, you're going to do your dead level best to make this man happy, and that you will. These folks often sometimes do get up out of their chairs and walks for a period of time, and it makes great television, but these folks are often not healed. When it comes to real healing, there's been, as near as I can tell, no verified incidents where folks like Benny Hinn or Todd Bentley or other of these faith healers have actually been able to document in a way that holds up to even limited scrutiny, even the smallest amount of scrutiny, a real healing.
How then do the healing ministries explain the inability, as you just said, the inability of these claims to bear the just the even simple basic questioning and investigation? How do they explain
it? They don't. They don't explain it. They just move on. They just say that they happen, and if you don't believe it, shame on you. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to call these people. In fact, I was amazed that, again, Todd Bentley even sent me the list. So I guess maybe that, and I have to blame journalists to a certain extent on this, too. I mean, the faith healers have been around for, you know, for decades, if not centuries. Journalists have not done a very good job of holding these folks to account, so that they don't get asked for the list of people often. When they do get asked, often the journalists don't follow up. I think that's what kind of makes this, I think that's why this story has gotten some attention, is because, you know, I actually called the people and wrote down what they said, and it's pretty obvious that that there's just nothing to this.
So we talked about the current state of Todd Bentley, and you said he's in a reconciliation process with Joyner. Would you expect him to pop up someplace else, maybe another region of the country, start this thing over again?
I definitely would expect that. I mean, I don't know when it's going to happen. I think that, you know, he received so much criticism, even from the charismatic and Pentecostal community, that I don't expect we'll see him pop up anytime soon. But by soon, I mean within the next days or weeks. But I would think that within months or years that we certainly will. Todd ended up, by the way, marrying that young staff. He divorced his wife and ended up marrying that young staff member that he admitted to having an inappropriate relationship with. And Todd Bentley is still a young man. He's in his 30s. And so I expect we probably will see him pop up again. And I would just, tell your listeners to beware whenever he shows up in your town.
Before we let you go, with about a minute here, tell us a little bit about your new book, A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church.
Well, I appreciate you asking. A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church has been out for about a month now, and it is essentially a hard look at the Evangelical Church, applying some of the same journalistic skills that I used on the Todd Bentley story, testing the claims of the mega churches and the large parachurches, to see if indeed these claims of growth and spiritual renewal and revival are real. I find that in some cases they are, and I try to, you know, be very positive about those. But unfortunately, Todd, I find that in many cases they are not, and try to put that out in as plain and non-judgmental language as I can, without also sugarcoating the facts. And towards the end of the book, it's not all negative though. I do prescribe a few prescriptions for renewal and revival, and try to highlight some organizations that are doing it right.
Folks, you can find out more about A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church by our guest, Warren Cole Smith, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Warren Cole Smith is a writer, editor, and publisher of the Evangelical Press News Service, author of the new book, A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church, and he's written a story for World Magazine titled Heal or Heal. Warren, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd. It was great to be with you.
Well, tomorrow, believe it or not, time flies. Tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc. has returned to the air. We are deep in the plans for our open house and our dinner, but part of that planning includes your answer to the question, what does Issues Etc. mean to you? Already today, I think we've had a couple listeners stopping in advance of that anniversary, and one of the things they always talk about it with us informally is the answer to that question, what Issues Etc. means to them. We want your answer. You can leave your answer on our Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. You're not going to talk to anybody. It's just a a comment line where you can leave your answer to the question, what does issues, etc. mean to you? And we are very interested in that answer. 618-223-8384. It's open 24/7 for your answer to the question, what does issues, etc. mean to you? The Issues, Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. When we come back from the break, Dr. John Morris is going to join us, president of the Institution for Creation Research based in Dallas, Texas. We're going to talk about a contemporary of Charles Darwin, who sometimes in parallel, sometimes a little in advance of Charles Darwin, was thinking along the lines of natural selection too. And while he might have been known better at the time of Darwin's great claims, he's fallen out of notoriety. We'll see what history tells us about Alfred Russel Wallace and natural selection with Dr. John Morris on the other side of this break. It's Monday afternoon, June the 29th. Issues Etc. is coming to you live. You can join us for the next half hour, 1-877-623-6943, or email us in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll talk about a contemporary of Charles Darwin's with Dr. John Morris after this.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Here are some features of the Lutheran Study Bible. Almost 27,000 uniquely Lutheran study notes, more than 2,000 application notes and prayers for every part of the Bible, 120 full or half-page maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll even find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross, and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues Etc.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.